The views expressed are those of the author as of the date noted, are subject to change based on market and other various conditions, are not a solicitation to purchase or sell any security, and may not reflect the views of United Planners Financial Services. Keep in mind that current and historical facts may not be indicative of future results.
Hi, I'm Angie Nelson. Welcome to KIOW and Bradford's Money Outlook. Join us as we find out what big things are happening at Bradford. Today we have Shallon Weiss and Jared Raymond from the Bradford Financial Center in Clarion and Garner with me to talk about part one on the history of inflation and how it's repeating itself.
When it comes to politics, Americans usually don't agree on much, but this non-traditional commodity is powerful enough to unify even the most ardent voters on either side of the political aisle. I'm talking about meat. During World War II, Americans at home were forced to make sacrifices. Factories focused efforts on manufacturing products and equipment for the war, resulting in shortages of basic materials like metal, paper, rubber, and leather. As you might expect, regular consumer items like tires, shoes, and appliances became scarce and skyrocketed in price.
Yeah, and we've already seen that taking place. Although many of us have heard our grandparents talk about it, for some that never lived through it, it may not seem real. So let's refresh people's memories. How bad did it get during World War II?
Well, to make matters worse for the average consumer, within weeks of the bombing of Pearl Harbor in December of 1941, the U.S. government instituted a rationing program. So citizens, including babies, were each given a number of points in the form of stamps. These stamps were turned over along with money when purchasing items. So each time the government announced it was adding another item to the rationing list, folks ran out and bought up everything they could find. This, of course, made scarcity even worse. At the time, most folks were understanding of these inconveniences. After all, they had just lived through the Great Depression and were accustomed to hardships. But perhaps more importantly, they had a sense of patriotism and that they were doing their part for the war effort. But that all changed when it came to meat, especially beef and pork.
In what ways?
With most of the meat being shipped overseas to feed the Allied forces, there wasn't much left for consumers back home. Prices for the meat that was available began to soar. So, in an attempt to alleviate the cost, President Harry Truman ordered a price ceiling on meat. The measure backfired. The price ceiling resulted in financial ruin for butchers and ranchers, or at least the honest ones. Others began selling their meat on a thriving black market. It got so bad that for several years, many Americans couldn't find a piece of meat anywhere but the black market. Then, in late 1945, the war ended. The next year was a great time for America. Young men returned home, industry was booming, unemployment was low, grocery stores were stocked, and consumers could buy everyday items like washing machines and bicycles again. Yet, despite all the optimism, Truman's polling numbers were plummeting.
And why was that?
Well, you see, the meat problem wasn't over. As consumers unleashed years of pent-up demand, beef prices rose 70%. And President Truman, hoping to reverse public sentiment, once again imposed price controls on meat. And once again, the results were a disaster. Cattle ranchers, who were finally enjoying profits again, retaliated by withholding supply from the market, causing yet another shortage. Americans were outraged. Miners went on strike, saying they couldn't work without meat, and folks began pushing and shoving each other at butcher shops. Hospitals claimed they could only find horse meat to serve to patients, earning the president the nickname Horse Meat Harry. So as midterm elections approached in the fall of 1946, Democrats, who controlled Congress at the time, began to worry. Representatives from Connecticut wrote a letter to Truman exclaiming that the only thing people will talk about is meat. No matter what group we address, no matter what subject, invariably people will fire at us. Why doesn't Washington do something about meat? So the situation is growing desperate.
So, for those that don't remember their grandparents' stories or didn't pay attention in history class, what happened?
Weeks before the election, Truman lifted the price controls, but it was too late. The Republican campaign slogan was simple, had enough, and Americans had. Even though Truman got reelected 2 years later, Republicans won the midterms in a landslide and took control of Congress for the first time in 16 years. Folks put up with a lot during the war, but the beefsteak election showed politicians how Americans feel about meat. Over the past 2 years, many of us experienced shortages for the first time in our lives. We certainly aren't comparing the hardships faced during World War II to the supply chain hiccups caused by COVID-19. But labor shortages and supply chain problems are still hurting our food suppliers. And for many of us, walking into Walmart for a pack of chicken and seeing the display case empty is a shocking sight.
Well, especially when inflation isn't going away anytime soon, and many politicians and media outlets don't seem to acknowledge there's a real problem, but instead, like Bill Gates, want to promote synthetic meat.
But as consumers tighten their spending habits, we expect the real meat to remain an important part of their diets. Let's look at the state of the meat industry, the food that brings America together. Americans simply love their meat. In 2020, the average U.S. consumer ate 266 pounds of meat, and that includes about 115 pounds of chicken, 84 pounds of beef, and 67 pounds of pork. So despite years of scolding from environmentalists and the rise of plant-based alternatives, meat demand has been steadily rising in the U.S. since 2015. A recent report from the Food Industry Association and the Meat Institute found that sales of meat have increased 4% since the start of the pandemic. And today, 98.5% of American households purchase meat.
Showing us no matter what certain politicians or wealthy elitists try to convey, Americans will always choose meat, Democrat or Republican. And I'm one of them who will take meat any day over dessert. But let's stop right here, because we've run out of time for today. Tune in next week for part two of our discussion on inflation and the meat industry. But if people have questions about our discussion today to help in managing their wealth journey, what should they do?
For a free consultation to help you manage your wealth journey, contact one of us today at bradfordfinancialcenter.com or call 515-532-6661. You can also reach us toll-free at 800-348-4419.
Thank you, Shallon and Jared, for being with us today. Join us again next Tuesday at 9:10 for Bradford's Money Outlook to find out what big things are happening at Bradford. You can also find Bradford's weekly conversations on our website at KIOW.com. I'm Angie Nelson for KIOW.
Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Bradford Financial Center, a registered investment advisor. Insurance services offered through Bradford Insurance. Tax and accounting services offered through Bradford Tax and Accounting Network. Bradford Financial Center, Bradford Insurance, and Bradford Tax and Accounting Network are not affiliated with United Planners. Neither Bradford Financial Center nor United Planners provide tax or legal advice.